This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This should be a great day on Grant and Danny. Welcome in from our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard for one of the only times this week. We are live on 106.7 The Fan from home base. Got a great show planned for you today as we get ready for the first round of the NFL draft tonight. The Commanders hold the 29th pick in the first round after getting to the NFC Championship game. Ben Standing, who covers the team with the latest on what he's hearing at 3 o'clock in 1 hour. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who might be the best national draft analyst in terms of research. He joins us in 3 hours at 5 o'clock. And former head coach here in Washington, who's watched a ton of tape on these first-round talents, Jay Gruden, is on the program at 6 o'clock. The draft is going to be hit early. It will be hit often. It will do the heavy lifting today. But, Danny, we've got to start.
Sure we do.
With a Caps win last night at home at Capital One Arena, in front of 20,000 strong, the good guys took a 2-0 series lead, have an 89% chance now mathematically to advance to the second round for the first time since the 2018 Cup run. 3-1 victory. It was not easy. It was not always pretty, but a 2-1 Capitals edge, thanks to two goals in the span of 60 seconds, got them the advantage they needed. And then in the third period, as Montreal threw the kitchen sink at him, Logan Thompson stood on his head.
Yeah, this to me is the Logan Thompson game. Like, this is what I'm going, if they go on a deep run, I'm going to remember Logan Thompson here putting the team on his back. When they couldn't get the puck out of the zone, when they couldn't clear, when Montreal had all the pressure in the universe and was putting on him, it was shot after shot, it was shift after shift, nothing was going right for the Capitals. Logan Thompson decided, you know what I am actually? Is an athletic brick wall. Nothing through here, not tonight, not you guys. He was sensational.
I don't want to make this anti-Charlie Lindgren, because all he is a good egg, mm-hmm. who's a great teammate and a very fine player, and I'm excited that he's been re-signed. But this was my point for weeks leading up to the playoffs. If Logan Thompson's healthy, I feel a lot better. And the reason is, Logan Thompson's tremendous. And you saw it again last night. He makes the big save at the big moment. He's done it all year long for this team. The toe kick save that he made on a redirection in the third period, miraculous.
So he's going the opposite direction, yeah.
It looked like he had made the save, Holtby style, diving across the cage with a completely open net. And as you watch the replay, it actually hit the post. But even on that play, which people want to take away from him, after the post, he still saves it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he didn't knock it into the net.
Me neither.
25 saves on 26 shots with the one goal allowed for him, a .962 save percentage. Remember when he had a concussion and didn't play in a game for weeks?
Yep.
How did he come back and this quickly regain his game? This is amazing.
And be that sharp? I have no idea. I have no idea. There have been a couple of those this year. The most miraculous, of course, is Alex Ovechkin at 39 years old, breaking his leg and then, you know, being at a better goal-scoring pace than he ever has in his record-setting career. But this is, in a normal year, this would be kind of the sensational injury recovery story. How could you be sharp without playing? Well, you can't do anything. It's not as if he's just sitting there practicing and facing a bunch of live shots. You're not allowed to do anything. Having the lights on hurts your head. And he has to wait and wait and wait. It's not as if he was as sharp when he got injured as well. Thank goodness for Logan Thompson through these couple games. Last night especially, Monday as well, I thought he was really good. But last night, I think he stole that game, quite frankly. Like, that was Montreal. Stole maybe too strong.
Yeah, they had a lead, so it's hard to say he stole it, but he saved it.
He saved it. Let's put it that way.
Literally and figuratively.
Put it that way.
He saved them the game. Connor McMichael was tremendous again. He scored two goals, the first that tied the game at one, and then the empty netter that put it on ice. He had a team-high four shots. Ryan Leonard had three shots on net. The kid's been great. His two best games as a Capital, in my opinion, have come in the playoffs. And you want to talk about things that are hard to explain? I don't really get that. But he has elevated his game in a brilliant way. And I'll tell you who else was really, really good last night. Maybe it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, although he did have an apple and a point. I thought Taylor Radish was marvelous.
He was all over the ice.
Radish, who's most likely to lose his spot when Protas comes back because they're going to have to reconfigure things and some forward's going to have to come out. And I thought it was a foregone conclusion it would be him. But unless they get cute, maybe they're going to have to rethink things. I don't know. Because playing the way he was yesterday, you don't want him out of the lineup. But everybody, man. Anthony Beauvillier, awesome again. Andrew Mangiapane through two games has been excellent. Like some of the guys that we said you need more out of, these aren't, you know, productive players down the stretch. They're elevating their game. The Capitals, though, two goals in 60 seconds. That was their whole offense before the empty netter was 1 minute of hockey. The 22nd time in team history in the playoffs that they scored twice within a game minute.
16-18 to go in the second period. Montreal leading it here as McMichael cuts out front. And a shot, he scores! Connor McMichael on the second effort. The first one did not go. The second one did. And McMichael has tied it 1-1 here in game two. And a puck back down for Carlson. Ahead to Ryan Leonard. Goes across to Beauvillier in the tap. The rebound. They score! And it's Dylan Strom! Oh, baby! Right down the middle. Goes to the backhand. It's 2-1 Washington!
So, going through both goals really quick. The McMichael goal first, that's just work. Behind the net, a little time and space. He had the puck forever. Nobody knocks him off his block. That's something that, if you're in front of the Caps net, doesn't really happen very often because they're big and they're just going to drill you. You saw it last night where Nick Dowd just de-skated. I think it was maybe Cole Caulfield, but one of their guys that had the puck in front of the net. You're getting knocked in the air. But McMichael was banging around and hitting the puck, and he hit it off a defender, and after Montreal got a fluke goal to start the thing. They evened it up on one themselves. The Strome goal was beautiful. Tic-tac-toe. You had the great feed from Leonard, the one-time pass from Beauvillier, then Stromer with a pass to himself off the pads. He said he wasn't trying to do that, but it was a huge rebound, quick reaction time, and both were kind of playoff beautiful goals. The first was the more of the grimy working goal. The second was, that's a skilled team.
Yeah, it was boom, 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 right?
And it wasn't even a line that is traditionally together because it was Leonard, Beauvillier, and Strome at that moment. But there's your offense, and Logan Thompson made it work.
Yeah. I was surprised that they weren't able to get a couple more home at various points. I thought they'd have more of those grimy chances, just, you know, leaning on people, being more physical, et cetera. But, you know, Montembeau's good, and I think Montreal is well-coached and they kind of know what they're about. Sort of waiting in line, you know, lying in wait for those counterattacks. I think they know they're going to get outshot for most of these games. As at one point, I think the Caps had a 26-10 shot advantage on official count. But yeah, I mean, they're furious third periods, they're counterattacks. It's where they're dangerous when they kind of get those pucks in open ice after a save or, you know, after a turnover or something like that. But yeah, I mean, that was, you know, it wasn't much doing for a while for the Capitals in terms of quality scoring chances. But we normally on this show, we love you guys listening live. However you could tune the show is great. Right? We love that. We just love people listening. So thank you for everybody that does. Normally, we're just like, hey, man, if you miss something live, go check the podcast, right? Go to the Odyssey app. You can download it. Wherever you get your podcast, do that. I'm asking everyone, don't check the podcast from yesterday when we were drafting players to score goals, because there's no reason to go back and listen to that. Like, you don't need to hear who I took instead of Connor McMichael. And you don't need to hear the reason that I said Connor McMichael wouldn't score if he had 1,000 playoff games. And then he scored twice like an hour later. So don't go listen to that one from yesterday.
But Ryan did draft Connor McMichael.
Yeah, right after me.
So Clary's on the board.
Yep.
So the leaderboard is Darris with three.
Mm-hmm.
Clary's got two goals. You did get one.
I got a Stromer goal.
You took Stromer last night. Mm-hmm. So myself and Toby still looking to get on the board.
I could have had my Darris night. I could have had my three goals.
Could have. Staring you right in the face.
I went in my mind, I go, he's due to he'll never score ever. Two times.
Star of the game, though, Thompson, pretty clearly, who is the fourth Caps goalie ever to win his first two playoff starts with the team. And now in six career playoff games, how about these numbers? 4-2 with a 207 goals against and a 931 save percentage. He's been outstanding in the playoffs. This was Danny yesterday.
Oh, no.
Talking about Connor McMichael.
Oh, no.
There's a player that makes sense, but I believe if there were 1,000 playoff games, he would not score, as evidenced by his refusal to put the puck in the back of the net in the first couple of minutes last night. So I will be bypassing that gentleman.
That gentleman was Connor McMichael.
Who would score twice?
Who scored 2 goals.
So I'm happy to do that as a public service for Capitals fans.
Yeah, I want you to talk more trash about some of the Caps forwards.
I'll do that. Who needs to score on Friday? I'll happily not take him.
Well, you want to do the immovable object and the unstoppable force? You could talk badly about Lars Eller.
There you go.
Because, I mean, that guy.
Well, boy, I selected Lars Eller, yeah.
I'm not sure he'd hit water if he fell out of a boat at this point in front of the net. I like how he's playing. He's been physical.
I actually thought he played well last night,
Grant. He's throwing his weight around. But he just can't finish. No. He's a nerd at a high school party, brother. It's just not happening for my guy Lars right now. One guy I do want to call attention to, Matty Roy, played 23 minutes last night. You may not have noticed him because he looks so different, because he shaved his beard to start his playoff beard. He is very, very sound, stay at home, nothing sexy. He's the anti-Chickering in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's not offensive. He's not scoring goals. He's not going to get a lot of assists. He's a defensive defenseman. But my God, has he been important. Without Ferravari, a little more Alexiev now, Carlson missing time at the end of the season, Chickie getting some rest days. I thought Roy was really, really good last night. Only Carlson played more.
A lot of times when you don't notice those guys, it's like an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you notice Chikrin, who's skating in. And by the way, I drafted Chikrin, hit the post in the first couple of minutes. That was really fun for me. No, but when you notice guys like that who are stick handling and pinching in and creating offensive chances, sometimes you don't notice the super solid defender, which is good. Like, so I didn't notice a ton from Matt Roy or Alexia of last night. But that means to me, for the most part, they were doing a pretty good job.
I was surrounded by Commanders last night at the game.
Mm-hmm.
They were all around me.
Pretty neat.
What a turnout of Commanders players. I don't even know how the Caps were able to scrounge up that many tickets, because they're hot commodity at this point, and the place is absolutely packed. But the same seats that Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore were sitting in on the glass one night earlier, that are clearly like Caps tickets on the glass or whatever, were given to the quarterback room. So Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota, and Sam Hartman sat right on the glass, pounding the glass. And they were like catty-cornered from me through the glass, right around the bend, like 10 feet away, if you could go, you know, straight across. And so I was watching them for much of the night. I was not only watching the Capitals, I was watching Jaden Daniels watch the Capitals. But I posted a bunch of videos, if you want to go check them out, at Grant H. Paulson, reaction shots when they won or scored to Jaden. I'm not sure anyone's ever had more fun at a hockey game. The next time I see him, I've got to ask him. I'm sure he's been to a game or two since he got to D.C., or he's been to games before, like what his experience has been with hockey in the past. I'm just telling you, he loved the atmosphere. I don't have to ask him. He was jumping around and waving his towel. The Unleash the Fury bit that they do in the third period, mm-hmm. which is one of the great relics in DC sports. If you guys aren't familiar, generally with about 4 to 6 minutes to go in the third period at a stoppage in play, but oftentimes whenever they need a boost, if things are getting sideways or squirrely, anytime in the middle of the third, they play their hype-up video that gets everyone out of their seats. You're told to stand up, and you start clapping, and then everyone screams Unleash the Fury with Tom Green from the movie Road Trip way back in the day. And the whole building is bedlam. It's the loudest it is at any point for any Capitals game, and they do it right before they drop the puck, and there's just this great momentum that carries over into the game often. But if you've never experienced it or seen it before, whenever I bring someone new to a Caps game, I always make sure we're in our seats, and I say, hey, watch the board here. This is Unleash
here
the Fury.
Comes, yeah.
Like, this is the thing. And so I was looking over, like, I'm hoping Jaden's paying attention. And you could just tell he loved it. He was jumping around.
He's probably like, what movie is this?
Thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I've never seen it. It came out a long time ago because it's older than me. But yeah, dude, that's so cool. Watching people experience stuff like that for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know it sounds kind of dorky, but like, watching my son watch Star Wars for the first time and be like, wow, like, it's so cool. Those sorts of things are actually, like, priceless. So those guys, you know, like Sam Hartman, I think it was Mariota was sitting next to him as well. It was the quarterback room, right?
All three of them.
Yeah. It's like seeing those guys hang out on the glass at a Capitals game, watching a playoff game in person like that for the first time probably, that's cool.
Trent Scott was directly behind me, one row behind me, with three of the linemen. Trent Scott, who is a swing tackle, but mm-hmm. he caught the first ever touchdown.
Jaden Daniels studying,
from Jaden Daniels, which could be a trivia question for years to come, because it was a tackle-eligible play against the Bengals in Week 2. And I kept turning around to him and watching him. He was getting amped up, but I was like, we got to get you out there, hit some people. He's like, let's go, let's go. But yeah, the Commanders were everywhere. There was a great photo they posted. They must have had about 15 players there total. I think it was the entire offensive line, and they were scattered around the arena. And then the three quarterbacks. I don't know that any other position groups went or how they divvied it up. But I bet they brought a whole party bus from Ashburn.
That's so fun, man.
And the Caps got them all jerseys. And they were, man, they really enjoyed themselves.
Having a grand old time. Love it.
But I know fans get excited for this. I just think it's really healthy. And it actually is beneficial when the sports teams support one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Nats.
I love it.
40% of their rotation was on the glass the night before wearing Caps gear. Now you've got the Commanders. You want to see that. At a game I was at very recently, it might have been the 894 Ovi game, actually,
okay. When
he tied the record. Bilal Coulibaly was sitting a couple rows over from me.
Awesome.
From the Wizards at his home arena.
Right. He knows the way around there. Yeah.
No longer hardwood, it's ice, but I can't get enough of that.
I love that. I eat it up. And I know it's probably, you know, a little bit theater. I know it's probably a little bit naive, where I just want to pretend that they're all
some
friends.
Some of it is like, hey, be here at this time. We're going to hand you a jersey. You stand up. But they did it in a good way. Like, in the first period, they came to those guys. And Jaden, as you know, is just royalty in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So it was electric. I mean, the response he got was one of the loudest pops of the entire night. Maybe it was for Hartman and Mariota. I guess I'm not sure, because all three of them were on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sam Hartman's very handsome.
Handsome.
Could have been a lot of women screaming. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
If it was higher pitch for when he was introduced,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah. So he got on the mic and got everyone going, tried to cut a promo. But they did a cool thing where they all three signed a football and then launched it into the crowd all over the different places they had chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaden's throwing it, 30 rows up to the right. And Sam's lobbing one over. Mariota scrambled.
Ran it. Yeah. Thank you.
We both were on
that. Same joke there. Yeah.
But, all three of them threw a football, which was good. But what I wanted to bring up real quick about Jaden before we move on from that element of the game last night, I found this amazing. So he was sitting in the front row. They showed him on the camera in the first period, and it's the worst-kept secret in the world. As soon as word gets out by one or two people noticing you that are just sitting around you, it's going to spread like wildfire, right? So to the point where in stoppages, like people were coming up, and he'd kind of lean over and take a little picture if they were nearby. But what normally happens in these situations with a player of this magnitude, I've seen this a million times, a security guard or somebody will just escort you up the aisle before the end of the period. So with like a minute left in the period or whatever, so that you're not trying to walk up when everyone else is walking up, because it's a packed arena.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder, there's no open seats. You just get escorted out of there and you wave like a princess in the parade or whatever, and you just go hide out in a suite or do somewhere else, right? Not only did he not get escorted out before the end of the period, he stood there in the intermission, which spans between like 18, 19 minutes, and took pictures with hundreds of people. And it was a madhouse. Like, I honestly think it was a security concern. They had our buddy Charlie Moulet from PR mm-hmm. with them. But until 15, 18 minutes after the end of the period, right before the end of intermission, I didn't see one security guard come down. They eventually got someone come down. Like, the whole section and kids from all over and people from all over the arena, it was like a big receiving line. We're walking down to the front to get these pictures and to hang out. And Daniels, to his credit, he must have taken hundreds of photos. And at one point, went up and was in different rows shaking hands. And I mean, he just hung out.
Yeah, because you'd be forgiven if it's like, hey, I got to run to the restroom. I've been sitting in my seat, for whatever.
You'd be
forgiven
if that, which is probably not a fun, borderline miserable experience for him, because it's every night and it's constant. If you just didn't want to do that,
mm-hmm.
and you just said, I just want to be a guy at a hockey game with my buddies. I don't want to do this. And you just go sit in a suite.
Yeah.
He just chilled and wore it and was the belle of the ball, and I couldn't believe it.
Elect him mayor, please.
Yeah.
Whenever that football thing is done, please be in charge of stuff.
He's a good kid.
Yeah. I wouldn't have the patience for that, even at my age. But just to that point, just real quick from before, The local guys supporting each other and the different, whether they become friends or are kind of going through similar stuff. I know one of my favorite all-time sports memories is a hammered Max Scherzer and a hammered Ryan Zimmerman wearing like fireman's gear, cap stuff, holding the full deals, yelling Unleash the Fury or Let's Go Caps, that kind of thing. Like, where it felt authentic, not just, hey, I kind of played golf with TJ Oshie at a charity event one time. I'll swing by a game. But when it feels that we're all pulling in the same direction and you like the same things that I like, to your point, it it builds and it becomes this community thing. It's not adversarial anymore where you're competing for everyone's attention. It's the high tide raises all the boats, and that's how it feels.
I think Will in Stafford was at the game last night. He swung by City Tap House.
We saw Will.
Yeah, hung out with him for a bit. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good seeing y'all. Doing good, man. Good seeing y'all yesterday, meeting you guys, and the crab and corn hush puppies were great at the Tap House last night.
I agree. They're so good.
Yeah, but I was going to tell you, Grant, I was in the section between you and Jaden in the QB room, about 10 rows off the glass.
Okay.
And I was there was the wives and girlfriends on one side of us, and then a group of ladies on the other side in different coats. And turned out I was sitting next to Coach Carberry's wife, nicest lady, you know, real nice, real pleasant to talk to. And I told her, you know, your husband's been great, and you know, brought a breath of fresh air to the city, you know. But she was real cool. But Luke McCaffrey came up and sat like right on her end, got pictures with him, you know. It was I almost found myself paying more attention to those guys in the actual game, which I never thought would happen.
Yeah, but it's funny.
No, it was great time.
Appreciate you, bro. Good call. Yeah, I was, like I said, I was watching the game, but I was also watching them watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Who loves Spencer Carberry more, his wife or me? Because she gets mad at him, I bet, for just daily things.
Yeah, like being a husband. Like, you have annoying habits.
Like, my wife doesn't like me that much. Your wife can't stand you, I'm sure, same right. way as my wife hates me.
Loves me, but doesn't like me very much.
Yeah, she'll love you, but she doesn't like you.
Right.
Same with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. Like, I probably like Carberry more than his wife.
Because where are the negatives for you? For
I don't
him.
Have any.
You see what I'm saying?
Zero.
Like, she's got stuff that's like, God, I wish she wouldn't clear his throat
floor,
that way.
Doesn't matter.
Or lets the dishes soak. Or, you know, has multiple glasses of water around the house. That does, none of those things bother you.
No. He gives a great post-game after a win speech.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets the game puck? Let's give it to Logan tonight, huh? JR in Boston. What's up?
What's up, fellas? Listen, Grant, I have to say that you were right. I kept calling in before the playoffs started and was concerned how they just weren't playing well for the last month. And the last two games, they have come out and proven, and you're right, that they can flip the switch. I didn't think that was even possible. They've come out and dominated. But, like, what drives me crazy and, like, my big concern of, like, things from the past is the fact that when it comes to high danger chances, especially after they scored two goals in 60 seconds, whatever, they dominated like the next 10 minutes and should have had another two or three goals. Both these games,
totally.
When it comes to high danger chances and skill and everything else, should have been like 5-1, 5-2. It was all caps. But like, that's why we love and hate hockey all the same, because it's the only yeah. sport where you can dominate 70% of the game and still lose.
It's the like, best it's and the worst. Isn't
all at the
it?
Same time.
Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, no claiming victory just yet. I mean, if they lose the series, it won't be because they couldn't flip the switch. But,
and that was kind of my point after game one. It's the thing that I was worried about, I'm not worried about anymore. Now, just it's a does Logan Thompson make the incredible save or not?
Now it's the hockey.
Regular
playoffs.
Hockey. Yep.
And they're up 2-0, but they got a lot of work to do. What would you guess high danger chances have been between the two teams so far, the discrepancy?
In my mind, it's even, but maybe that's stupid.
Take a guess through two games.
10-10.
31-17 caps over the Canadiens. Almost 2-1.
It doesn't feel like that way because the last part of each game
exactly
is that way. By the way, I undershot by a lot. How about that?
But they've buzzed. I mean, they've done everything you want to do. They mm-hmm. got to find a way to score one or two more of these goals. And I give Montembeau credit. He's been
really good, I think.
The NFL drafts tonight, Danny. Let's put our GM hats on next and simulate round one. See what we're doing for the Commanders. See if we'll accept any of the trade offers that come in. We're Grant and Danny. That's next on The Fan. The wait is finally over. We have made it to draft day in the National Football League. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've got a watch party tonight. We're going to be at MGM National Harbor and Tap Sports Bar watching the first round all the way through pick 29. The wife asked me today, what time do I think the Commanders are going to pick? She was debating if she was going to stay up or not.
Mm-hmm.
I told her I think it's going to be after 11 p.m., right? And there's no way.
Oh, yeah.
that they're picking before 11, probably around 11:15 to 11:30?
Like, my real answer is Friday.
Well, that's another.
But stick
story,
aside,
but
yeah,
yes.
If they do stay on the board and pick, it's close to midnight, I would think. I mean, the first round gets, what, 15 minutes? Or is it down to 10?
10 minutes.
Yeah, they're going to use it all. I mean, if you just take, if each team takes 10 minutes, you're at 2 hours by what? Pick 12?
No, it starts to move a lot more in the second half of the first round, but you're right. The first dozen to 15 picks take forever. Because not only, I mean, the pick is in and we're waiting for the commissioner to walk out there and the clock's at zero for a little while. When they kick off the draft, he does a big spiel. You know, right at the top when you could put the team on the clock. He doesn't do it yet for 7-8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on 11 p.m. tonight. But we'll be there until they make the pick, so come kick it with us. The field trip that we're taking tomorrow is going to be awesome. If you guys want to come hang out with us, we're going to be out at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly tomorrow. Caps game 3. We're getting ready for that. We'll be able to discuss the pick with you and what they're going to do on Friday. Of course, the Nats are welcoming Juan Soto back to town. But Pupatella Pizza, and I'm not just pumping their tires because we're going there. It's the one seed in the Paulson household. My wife and I get their pizza all the time when we have any kind of parties with people coming over to watch games. Pupatella's our go-to. We're going to be in Chantilly. First time we've been out there, so I'm jacked up about this. Happy hour specials running all show long. Pupatella Pizza serving the real MVP of flavor with authentic, delicious, hat-trick-worthy Neapolitan pizzas. They are in on the Caps run, so come by and see us tomorrow from 2 to 6:30.
All about it. Neapolitan style. Really, really tasty. That's there's one in Mosaic that the Hurays attend every so often. That is a one of those Friday night treats. All about it.
All right, I want to get our first chance here to see what we think the Commanders are going to do. We're going to play GM. And over the course of the show, we can give everybody a crack at this. But the way I want to do this, as we've done it in the past, is we're going to pick for the Washington Commanders. I don't think we need to go a full 7 rounds. I think we'll just do a 2-round mock draft here. And I will simulate. So the 28 picks in front of us are going to be made. And then Washington's going to be on the clock at 29. Danny, you can go first. I'll let you play GM. I will tell you who your options are.
All right.
Best available. And if there are any trades that come in, if the phone rings.
Okay.
So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, General Manager Danny Peters.
Thank you. How did I just get so much more handsome? Just like that.
All right, pick 29. Washington is on the clock. Are you guys ready for this?
Here we go.
Let's see if the phone is ringing. Are there any offers coming in?
Oh. Hello?
Hey, is Danny there?
Speaking.
Yes. Hey, Mr. Peters. This is Mickey Loomis over with the New Orleans Saints.
Hey, Mickey. How's it going? It seems like you're in salary cap hell.
Yeah, we're always in salary cap hell. What's different? But I did just eat at Brennan's. You ever met this guy, Christian? He's a pretty cool guy.
Good dude. Good host. Yeah.
Yeah,
very
like
delicious
it.
Spot.
Yeah. Wore pink pants. He's very handsome. We like this guy. We like this guy a lot.
Saber nice of champagne. You ever see him do that?
Nice shoes. It makes a mean beat. He makes a mean beat, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've got a pick for you in the second round. I want to come up to 29.
Okay.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you 40, 71, and my fourth round pick next year. 40 and 71 this year, and my fourth round pick next year. I'd like pick 29.
So I get 40, 71. 71 would be early in the third round. I don't have a third round pick, and next year's fourth. I think I'm doing that.
We got a deal?
I got another call, but that sounds good to me. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Is Mr. Peters there?
Speaking.
Hey, this is Brandon Bean over with the Buffalo Bills. How are you?
Oh, hey, Mr. Bean. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, we're trying to come up one pick here. We've got the 30th pick in the draft.
Okay.
But we want 29. So we will give you 30 and 109, and you give us 29 and 205.
That's very nice of you to offer that. We really appreciate it. But I will not be doing that. I've got a better offer on the other line.
All right. No worries. Thanks for
playing.
Thanks
so much. Thanks, Mr. Bean. Why am I so in demand? I'm so popular. Hello?
You're running out of time.
I know. I got to hurry up. Oh, this is Danny. Come on. Come on.
Hey there. This is the Bengals. We're one of those organizations that doesn't really have a GM because the owner tells us what to do, but it's Duke Tobin.
Yeah. Let's pretend, Duke.
I'm going to pretend like I have some influence and power for a second.
Let's
if
pretend,
you don't mind.
Duke. Yeah. Let's pretend.
I'd like to come up to pick 29.
Okay.
You're on the clock here. I'm going to give you pick 49.
Okay.
I'm going to give you pick 81. And I'm going to give you my second round pick next year.
Oh,
I need 29 from you and 128. I'm going to give you 49, 81, and a future second for 29 and 128.
Duke, I got to say goodbye to Mickey Loomis because I'm doing that deal right there. You hang on 1 second. Let me flip over to Mickey Loomis. Mickey, it's Danny again. Sorry, I got a better offer. Can you up it?
No, I can't. You get 40, 71, and a 2026 number four, which is better than what the Bengals are offering you. 49, 81, and a second-round pick next year, but you got to give up 128 as well.
Oh, I forgot that I get 71. I'm trying to do all this on the fly. Probably someone smarter than you wrote it down. Okay, let me get rid of the other guy from Duke Tobin. I'll get rid of Duke Tobin.
You are struggling right now.
I'm scuffing.
Okay.
All right, because it's too many things in my head.
Do you have pencil and paper? I mean, it's the draft.
Well, it's going too fast.
You're the general manager.
I know what I'm trying to do.
You can't screw this up.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get it wrong. That's why I shouldn't be a GM. Duke Tobin, pipe down. Mickey Loomis, let's do that deal.
Okay, so you're accepting the New Orleans Saints deal. All right, you're back on the clock at pick number 40. You want your best available players?
Go for it.
Didn't even look at those last time. You've got James Pierce still available, the edge from Tennessee. You've got Maxwell Hairston still available, the cornerback from Kentucky. And you've got Landon Jackson is still out there, the edge from Arkansas. I can also update you on other positions if need be, but the phone is ringing right now, Darius.
Oh, my God.
This is via the Pro Football Network Mock Draft Simulator.
Good heavens. Yeah. Hello, it's Danny.
Hey, this is Jared Jones. How you doing, Mr. Peters?
I was doing better before you called, buddy. I thought I was ready to make a pick. What can I do for you?
We're trying to come up four picks. I'm going to give you 44 in my third round pick next year. A third rounder next year just to come up four picks.
No, I don't want to help you. Bye.
Wow. How about that?
Just like that.
I believe the phone is ringing again, Darius.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well,
it's Duke Tobin again. You really ruined my day.
I screwed you over, Duke. Yeah. I admit that.
Yeah, I'm going to make you another offer against my better judgment.
All right.
I'm going to come up nine picks. You got to come back to 49 from 40.
49.
I'm going to give you a second-round pick next year. You got to give me 128. So you're giving me 40 and 128. I'm giving you pick 49 this year and a second-round pick next year.
No, thanks. I'm going to stay and pick. I got my extra selections now.
Okay, pick number 40. Do you know you're taking, or you have any questions on who's available?
The pick is in. With their first pick on Friday, presumably, the Washington Local 53 selects Maxwell Hairston, cornerback from Kentucky.
Maxwell Hairston off the board to the Washington Commanders at pick number 40 to move back and still get a guy that is,
I think they're taking it
29 to them. Pretty good. Hairston the selection.
Maxwell Hairston, cornerback, Kentucky. Limited to only 7 games last season due to a shoulder injury, Maxwell Hairston still made his presence felt, being named second team All-SEC. He can be a game-changing defender as he tied the Kentucky school record with 3 career pick sixes. He has great footwork, can change direction quickly, and has a keen ability in route recognition. At 183 pounds, scouts believe he'll need to put on some weight, but his natural nose for the football makes him an asset for any defense.
All right, so Danny, you're back on the clock at 61. Let's round out round two really quickly here. Best available include wide receiver Jalen Royals from Utah State, an edge. Let's see who's the best edge right now available for you. I'm looking at Jordan Birch from Oregon, Ashton Galoot from Louisville. Anything else you'd like to know about?
So give me the best available again, just in general.
Just ran through them. I mean, you got, let's see, Darius Alexander, D-tackle from Toledo, Jalen Royals, wide receiver, Utah State, the edge, you got Marcus Mboo from Purdue, you want a running back, you could get DJ Giddens from Kansas State, you want a wide receiver, you go Jaden Higgins, Iowa State. What are you doing with pick 61?
Pick is in. With the, what am I on, pick 61 or 71? 61?
61.
The Local 53 selects Jordan Birch, defensive and or edge from Oregon, a 3-year starter who had a pretty good campaign in 2024.
Attaboy, got yourself an edge with your second pick, got yourself a corner. Things are looking up for the defense, just like we always expected from GM Danny Ruye.
I know.
No weapons in the early going.
Super annoyed about it too, by the
couple
way.
Couple of defensive picks. There you go. That's how we play the game. I'll get to put on the GM cap a little bit later on. Ben Standing of The Athletic covers the Commanders, joins us at 3. You're listening to Grant and Danny on draft day. It's draft day on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny with you, taking you up to 6:30. Nats baseball, Charlie and Dave, first pitch shortly thereafter. And then, when the Nats game ends, we'll be joining our draft coverage in progress. Our Toby Altizer with Linnell Willingham will be live on the Team 980 starting at 8 p.m. tonight, and they're going up to 1 a.m. How about that coverage?
Love that. Oh, dude, the old school, when I was doing nights back in the day, I would do that all the time. Like, post-Nats game, it was like, let's work it out. Who's anybody listening? Give me a call. We'll talk about it.
Toby, are you psyched? I used to get so fired up to do our draft coverage, anything at night like that, because it's the most energy. Like, last year, you and I did a live draft show from
That's right.
And we were on, and some of the reactions, even non-Washington stuff. Obviously, the Daniels pick went bonkers. Do you remember when the Falcons took Michael Penix? It was kind of
there was an audible gasp. Yeah,
holy jeebies moment, because they just paid Kirk Cousins $100 million. I love doing shows like that. Those reaction shows are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. It's going to be a blast. The draft is one of my favorite times of the year, so I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun hanging out with Linnell, so going to be a lot of fun.
You're going to have multi-TVs going if I know you, though, because you got to be watching the Nats.
Yeah, I mean, Mackenzie Gore is going to shove while I'm watching early parts of the draft.
By the way, C.J. Abrams just taken off the injured list. So winners of 4 of 5, chance to sweep the Baltimore Orioles. Abrams going to be back in the lineup
with
tonight.
With Gore on the bump, you can do a lot worse.
C.J. hit 4 homers in his first 11 games before that injury. He was driving the baseball. So you get him back, Gore going. And by the way, James Wood last night, stop sleeping, people. We need to have a James Wood update on the show every day, sponsored by Don't Sleep. That's my whole bit on James Wood.
That people are sleeping?
They're just sleeping.
And maybe they're not.
And occasionally I'll get stuff from like Nats fans who are like, what do you mean we're sleeping? We know he's good. There's 16,000 people at games, and 8 of them have James Wood jerseys. You guys aren't doing it right. And I'm not being mean. I know I'm fan shamer, and everyone gets sad.
Yeah, what are you doing over there, guy?
For 3 years. Well, everyone should have a James Wood jersey and be at every game.
Now,
that's what I'm saying.
But you don't have a James Wood jersey because he's not an obscure fourth-line winger.
I don't do baseball jerseys. It's very different.
There you go.
I do post-game shows and cover the Nationals.
That is true. That
I'm
is
not
true.
Allowed to wear a James Wood jersey.
That is true.
But it's very simple for me, Danny. He's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Act like it. He had a bobblehead night. That was a two-night bobblehead night. The first night, he had 2 doubles and 3 hits. The second night, he had a 430-foot home run, 116 miles an hour off the bat that hasn't landed yet.
Here's the 3-1. Swinging a long drive, right field, way back it goes, and it'll come down in the second deck. Oh, what a blast for James Wood. And the Nationals lead it 1-0, 5 pitches in.
Pull side, by the way. That's right center.
Here's my impression of James Wood homering, right? He homers.
Yep.
And then I go, James Wood just homered. I'm so excited. And then a bunch of people go, is he going to play for the Mets or the Phillies in 5 years? Ugh. I want to fight them in a cage until they tap out.
Don't fight anyone in a cage until they tap out.
Losers.
Don't.
God, it pisses me off. 6 years from now, something bad might happen. Let's all mope about it for a while. Grant's excited about something. Let's be weird about it. God, I hate that bit. I hate it so much. Every single time I tweet out a James Wood home run, every time. Yankees are cool. Yankees, they're seeing this too.
Future Yankee star.
And you know what? It's not even your guys' fault. It's the learner's fault. They've never kept anybody. They won't keep him. He's a Boris-advised player.
Mm-hmm.
But I shouldn't have to deal with it for 5 years. Like, this is the fun part. If you're lucky enough as a baseball fan, if you're lucky enough, your team will draft or trade for or develop a unicorn once every now and then. We happen to have been spoiled because we got Hapa, and then we got Soto, and now we got James Wood. And so I got one. It's like when I used to run around trying to catch a frog in my neighborhood. I would, like, catch a frog, and I'd run home, and it's peeing on me and everything. And I'd be like, I got one. I got one.
You got
one,
the frog.
I got
yeah, you got him.
And I put it in my aquarium, right? I got one. And you guys are yucking my yum. You're trying to trip me. You're trying to knock it out of my hands. I caught a turtle on Bumpy Oak Road, and you're trying to ruin it. Stop ruining it.
So who are you really mad at?
Anyone who...
Like, I know what you're saying. Like, it's a symptom. Are you mad at the symptom or mad at the root cause?
I'm mad at the symptom. Mm-hmm. The reality is the reality. Mm-hmm. I have terminal cancer. That's the reality. James Wood and every other great player will never sign here because I don't have ownership that spends any money. So that's a fact. The symptom is Bleh.
Yeah.
He homered today. He'll be gone in 2032. Bleh. Stop it. Get it?
Yes, I do.
Yep. Why can't we might not be here in 7 years. I got fat. I'm sick of fatness, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, I could go to the bowling alley. It would be like showing up when I'm at the bowling alley and be like, aren't you sick? Aren't you not going to be here in a while? You don't do that. Enjoy it while we got it.
I'm with you. We're feeding out of the same trough.
Yeah.
If you can't have any fun, then what's the point of any of it? Right? Like, I know it's going to end. I mean, I have a sliver of hope that it won't end, but I'm pretty sure this is not a pitcher that's got a private negotiation with the now deceased Ted Lerner, right? Where Boris and Ted can concoct a deal outside of the baseball operations for Steven Strasburg, you know? So other than that, nobody's going to re-sign here. And it might be some weird cursory effort where they offer a tenth of the market value and then get snippy when anybody's
here's the other thing. People are like, well, James Wood's from here. Maybe he'll want to stay here. I love James Wood. You won't find anyone that loves James Wood more than me. Maybe Kenny Wood. I don't know about that. That's his pops. Probably Paula Wood, because moms have a special love
for
their kids.
Sure, yeah, mom's on you.
But I wouldn't even guarantee that. I love James Wood. He's my special boy. He's mm-hmm. my sweet prince.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hire Scott Boris because you want to stay somewhere for 15 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
If you wanted to do that, there's a lot of agents out there you could do that with.
The stay-at-home agent, you could do
that. You probably want to get paid a little bit because mm-hmm. you know your value.
And he will.
And I don't have any problem with my nonchalant prince getting the bag, by the way. You should want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's called good old-fashioned American capitalism.
Yeah.
Go get paid, young man. But my point is just, if you were represented by someone else, I might think maybe there's a shot. See what I'm saying?
I do.
Doesn't matter. It's a lot of years away.
Yeah, I think it's a one-in-a-million moonshot that somehow it happens here. My point is, there are a lot of years between now and the end. If you can't enjoy those times, I will tell those people that are yucking your yum, there's no point to you paying attention at all.
Wait, why do anything?
There's no joy. If you can't find joy, what are you doing this for?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
By the way, it's not like it's a one-year contract. He's here for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going to be happening in 6 years? You and I won't have this job anymore. I don't know. I'll be in a different state working at a Best Buy somewhere. I don't know what you'll be doing.
Who knows what I'll be doing?
You'll be doing a stand-up show in Memphis. I don't know.
Eh.
6 years is so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Your baby will be in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I mean, enough already with the whining about him not staying here. Just enjoy the home runs, people. Watch them and enjoy them. Ben Standing of The Athletic covers the Commanders next on Grant and Danny on Draft Day.
CJ Abrams has aura.